When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the historic Drish House in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Now, at some point, did you have a conversation, maybe an awkward conversation, of, I think there might be something else in this house other than just us, that maybe, have you had paranormal experiences or had the reputation kind of preceded it?
The reputation had not preceded it. We really didn't know very much about the house. But yeah, we definitely had that conversation at some point of, you know, we're not the only entities in the house. The time that I really remember that was one of the girls who cleans after parties had sent me a text on our group text and said, hey, I'm going to come back in the morning to vacuum. I just couldn't be upstairs tonight. I can't describe it. I just couldn't go upstairs. And then someone else chimes in and was like, oh, man, I have those days when I just can't be upstairs. And then we suddenly realized that all of us have those days when you just can't be upstairs. They're not frequent, but they do happen. And that's just kind of a funny thing that we all suddenly were being like, oh yeah, that happens to me too. But yeah, we are very cognizant of what Matt calls them, the permanent residents of the house. I think they enjoy what we're doing with the house. The Drishes were very famous entertainers during their lifetimes. So I think they like having their home filled with gaiety again.
I could see that. That makes sense. Now, at some point, did the community itself, did they kind of, or do you even know, did they kind of start talking about paranormal activity there? Because there was a book written and they talk about the Drish House. I don't know if the chapter was Death Lights in the Tower, or exactly how that worked. Was this kind of a story that you...
House is famous for... Yeah. So the house is famous. Most people know the house because of 13 Alabama Ghosts and Jeffrey. Famous kids book written by Catherine Tucker Wyndham. the year I was born. And everybody my age read that book in third grade. Not so much now with the younger generation, but the teachers all remember the books, and I think they're teaching it to the school. So that's seventh graders came this past year on a field trip, and they had just read the book and were very interested in the tower and the ghost mm-hmm. stories. And so it's all part of the house and the lore of the house and the allure of it to get people to want to come visit. And mm-hmm. and we're part of that, just kind of being as facilitators or owners or whatever.
And
we'd like to open it up and share the house with people.
Now, what is the story that she shares in the book?
So the story is called Deathlights of the Tower, and it does take place in the era when the Cochrans owned the house. And, you know, starts out with Judge Cochran, come quick, your house is on fire. And it's a story that people have seen flickering flames in the tower for, you know, almost 100 years in Tuscaloosa, maybe a little more than 100 years. And that they are Sarah Grish lighting those misplaced candles for herself in the tower room. So that's the story that most people relate to with the Grish House.
So now that you've been involved with the Grish House for a long time now, how do you separate? Like, have you found any evidence of that ever happening? Is that just one of those legends that, you know, every town has one about a house and here's what supposedly happened, but nobody you know has ever seen it? Or is that the case? Have you talked to people who said, man, I saw the lights?
Yeah, I've never seen any firelight or flickering like candlelight coming from the tower. Like I said, we do experience things, but that has not been something that I have particularly experienced. I have met people who say that they have seen lights.
Oh, that's interesting.
The other thing that's mentioned in the book is that Sarah had a large rose garden, and you can smell essence of roses. The best evidence that we had with that is our son got married in the house, and the day before the wedding, as you can imagine, we're cleaning up and rearranging and decorating, and my two nieces come running down from upstairs and say, Uncle Matt, have you been spraying floral spritz up in the second floor, because there's a real floral scent up there? Mm-hmm. And I just looked at him. I said, no, I have not. I think that's Sarah. I think she's happy because of what we're doing here and the celebration mm-hmm. we're about to have. And of course, their eyes got real big, and we all went upstairs. And sure enough, there was a strong floral scent. And that's one of the things that is in the story. So that would be our best experience with anything.
Yeah, that has happened several times. One of the girls that works with us in the Grish House, I remember like freezing on the stairs, and she looked at me and she was like, I thought y'all were always just making this up. Why would we make this up? And again, her eyes just got really big. She's like, I thought you just always made this up. Like, I thought it was just a story. But we do, even when there are no fresh flowers at all in the house. And then the codicil to that story, which I think is kind of interesting and a little spooky, is because Mrs. Grish was famous for her rose gardens, we thought initially, oh, we'll plant roses. This will be so great. It'll be like a little tribute to her. You can't grow roses at the Grish House because there's an organism in our soil that destroys them. So we have azaleas, we have camellias, we've got crepe myrtles. You can grow anything else. You cannot grow roses.
Yeah.
That's something else.
Yeah.
So that must have happened. I mean, I'm going to guess she really did have roses. So the soil just changed over time.
Looked like, and what life there was like, because thankfully people in the 19th century wrote letters and kept diaries. So the Drishes were famous entertainers. There are many, many, many letters that their guests wrote that describe the furnishings in the house, the grounds of the house, the sort of day-to-day routine of the house. So we know a good bit about what life was like on Monroe Place because people kept written records.
Now, do you think, and maybe you've had some investigators come in, I saw that you have the Southern Ghost Girls there. I did an episode with them. I really like them a lot. And they dress up in costume, yeah. And it just sounds like it would be fun.
And they're just great. Yeah, they have great energy. I love them too.
Do you feel like the spirits there are the Drishes? Do you feel like it's John and Sarah? Or do you know, when you think about the history, there's been other people who lived there, you know? Could it be?
Yeah, I do think John and Sarah are there. Sarah is a really strong presence. She lived there a really long time during her life. She lived to be 88 years old, which was really old for the 19th century. She has a strong presence in the house. We hear two little girls a good bit. I'm not sure if that's Helen and Catherine or maybe the Green sisters. The Greens came to live with Sarah after John Drish's death. And they were two sisters as well. And then we've had people come to the house who had really strong experiences that some of the enslaved people who lived at the on Monroe Place are still present in the home as well. So it's hard to say. I think there are multiple entities there. It's an old house. It's had a lot of time to collect things.
And it makes sense with the enslaved people and with Sarah, you know, where else do you go? You know, with the enslaved people, they might not know that there's another place they could go to. You know, that was where they lived.
Right.
And with Sarah, the same thing. You know, where does she go after 88 years?
Right.
She stays in her beloved home.
We tell you all the time, we're like, you know, this is, you know, our ghost is not... She's a romantic, right? She lights candles and she makes floral aromas. So it's not very funny. So,
but be careful with the candles, please, Sarah.
Yeah, be careful with it.
So do you feel like with the tower on fire, and I'm using air quotes there, because it's not exactly on fire. People are seeing flames inside of it, maybe from what might look like candles. Has that been something that is kind of, you said that you've talked to some people who say they've seen it, but does it also feel like something that it's been a long time since anyone has reported that happening?
Frankly, yes. I've talked to people who say, oh yeah, we've seen the lights in the tower, but no one has, right. It's all been, you know, like when I was a child or years ago and stuff like that. So it's been a while since anyone said that. Our business neighbor at Prestige Limousine, had seen things. Matt may know more of Barry's stories.
Yeah, he always says that when he's there late at night, he sees weird things going on, shades going up and down, the lights going on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And he attributes it that he's disturbing them. So when he has to do something with one of his vehicles late at night. He can tell that the ghosts aren't happy.
At least one of the spirits in the house has a mischievous streak. So some of the things that happen are just kind of funny things. And I think, again, like I said, we hear two little girls sort of giggling and talking like you can't really pick up what they say. And I kind of think there's a jokester among us.
So yeah, obviously there's nothing there that you feel threatened by, or at least so far in this conversation, it doesn't seem like it's anything that...
You never feel threatened, but we would never spend that.
You kind of cut out just a little bit there, but you did say, but you would never spend the night there.
Yeah, we've never spent the night there. We've had other people who have several of the Southern Ghost Girls spend the night there. So you may want to talk to Leslie and some of those girls. They've come for investigations on, you know, game day weekends when hotels are unavailable in Tuscaloosa, and have just stayed at the Trish House. Our cleaning crews have stayed there all night. So people do stay there, but we have never stayed.
Personally, I don't think I could stay there. But is it kind of like you're just not comfortable there at night?
I think most of it is, you know, when we finish a party, it's really late, again, 3 or 3:30 in the morning sometimes. It's just so easy to think, man, we just live like a mile away. Yeah. We can just go home.
Let's get home. Exactly. But I've read in several different places that it's considered one of the most haunted places in that area. Do you think that goes to, back to the kind of the 13 Alabama Ghosts and Jeffrey story, do you think it's more contemporary stories? Is it a combination of both that gives it that reputation?
I think it's a combination of both. And like I said, we have had many paranormal groups come and investigate, and they're always amazed at how much activity there is in the house. And yeah, so I think it's gotten that reputation from several different channels.
Because when I was reading about the tower on fire, I kind of assumed that might be, obviously that's where it all started. Because that's obviously been a legend for a long time.
But now, yeah, that legend has been around for a long time.
But now with the paranormal investigation groups, you've got this whole other group of people who are wanting to get in and see what they discover, which I think is fascinating. Do you ever kind of talk with them and say, hey, did you find anything particularly exciting?
Yes, certainly. We talk to all the investigators who come to the house and, you know, just to see what they're picking up on.
Right. We usually don't have to talk to them. They're usually very excited to tell us.
Yes.
About the amount of paranormal activity that they encounter.
Do they feel like lots of different spirits there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just because you just think about all the people who have been in and out of there over the years.
They love the house. And when we, especially when we first opened up, and it was kind of still rough around the edges, and all the pictures of what it looked like was still vivid in everybody's mind. And a lot of them confessed that they snuck into the house when it was empty and did their paranormal. So they wanted to come back, right? So,
right.
But they love the house, and they still do. Even though, you know, after 10 years and now a lot of the younger generation just know the house for how it looks today. And it's kind of going into the, you know, the recent past of how it used to look. And I think some of that may be fading a little bit, but they come in and they still do their events, and they're always excited to tell us about all the activity that they've witnessed.
And it's really spread beyond Alabama. That's something, well, I mean, obviously you're not in Alabama, but I think that's something that I think the internet has facilitated. Mm-hmm. So there probably have always been people who were interested in paranormal phenomenon and maybe drove to see the Trish House or drove to see the Carrollton County courthouse or places in Alabama that are supposedly haunted, reportedly haunted. But it's having communities of people come together on the internet and decide, you know, we're going to go, we're going to take this seriously. And not just, you know, sneak up late at night and try to see if we see something, but we're going to, you know, actually investigate and try to get these spirits to trust us enough to communicate. That's very different. And I think that's a fairly recent phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. I do too. And there's a lot of people going out and doing investigations these days. There's a lot of paranormal groups out there.
There are a lot of paranormal groups out there, and we are happy to have them in the Trish House. I do ask that they be respectful of the permanent residents. And, you know, I always say, look, you know, you're going to go back to where we are from, and we have to live with these ghosts. Like, you know, be nice. Try to be nice and try to remember that they are people in, you know, who were born in the 18th century. They're more formal than we would be. So I kind of tell people, like, you know, use your best manners. Like, try to be respectful.
I think that's really good advice. I would advise anyone to go to your website and just check out the photographs. And now that you've talked about these pictures from the 40s, I need to see those. I want to see what it looked like.
Yeah. Some of them are on our Instagram. If you look us up on Instagram, we're at Drish underscore house and sort of go back to the beginnings of our Instagram. We're also at Drish underscore house on TikTok. And there will be more pictures of the house, photos of people in the house. So we try to have a mix of our content of historical things and, you know, also like the party that we're having today. So it's a good mixture.
Because the pictures, like, it would be a really beautiful venue for a wedding, or, you know, it's just.
It is. It's a really lovely something. Place for a wedding. It's very romantic.
So the website is historicdrishhouse.com. And then, of course, you've got the Facebook page as well.
Right. Facebook is the Historic Drish House. Like I said, Instagram and TikTok are at Drish underscore house. So, you know, I invite everybody to check those out. And you can communicate with us through our social media and ask any questions that you have, or, you know, reserve a time to come for an investigation on your own.
That was going to be my next question. So how, if someone was interested in.
Mm-hmm. You can contact Matt and I through the website or through our social media. And we welcome investigators, and we schedule investigations just like we do weddings or any other event.
Well, check that out. I would love to come tour. I am too much of a wimp to do an investigation, but I am fascinated by historical buildings.
Well, if and you are ever in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, you look us up.
I will absolutely. It just looks amazing. Thank you for saving it.
It's been our privilege to save the Drish House and be its caretaker.
And that wraps up our conversation about the historic Drish House. You can get more information about events, weddings, and paranormal investigations at their website, historicdrishhouse.com, or search Historic Drish House on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive, and get advance episodes without the commercials, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. Or you can go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.